Oh, fantastic. I was encouraged to put this message together. I was sitting in a staff meeting at work, which was just, I love staff meetings that go for, you know, 2-3+ hours, and we just talk about the same things over and over again. It's really exciting. And if you've been in one, you didn't know it's not. But we were sitting in there, and our boss was talking to us about how she struggles to make tough decisions. And someone had said, oh, you know, why do you struggle to blah, blah. I probably shouldn't talk about what we actually said. But our boss went on to say, she explained that our school's decisions are based on a bunch of Christian moral values. So you have to consider to be respectful to all parties and blah, blah, blah. And she kind of really just bagged it out. And she said, oh, you know, it's all this wishy-washy stuff that we have to consider, and it's all a waste of time, and who even follows that anyway, and I don't practice it. And sort of sitting there, quite uncomfortable, actually. But I was thinking to myself, I thought, you know, these ideas, you know, be respectful to each other, be kind, think of others before yourself, and that are very good. They're excellent things. But if you just kind of basing it on this sort of wishy-washy, you know, facts, they kind of miss the point. You know, it's not Christianity and us following Christ isn't about trying to keep a set of like moral like standards or values, you know, because we're not going to be able to. And there's just, it's got to be more than that. And they just missed the boat. And so I said, hey, you know, I feel like you're sort of bagging me out a lot, so can we move on? And we did. But yeah, they missed the point. And my encouragement tonight is for us to not miss the point. So there's a bit of forewarning. There's a letter in the New Testament. It's written by a guy called Paul, who wrote most of them. And it's called Colossians. And Paul writes to the people in, I think it's Coloss. That's what it says, but I don't know how to pronounce it. But he writes to the people while he's in prison. So he's actually in prison when he writes most of his letters in the Bible, which isn't good. He's never visited the Colossians before, so he's never actually been there. And he can't even write this letter himself because he's chained in prison. So he actually gets this other bloke named Timothy, who I talked about last time, who's pretty rad, and he gets this other bloke, I can't pronounce his name, but you can look it up. It also starts with T, and they scribe the letter for him. So he can't write it himself, but he's talking and talking, and these blokes are just like, I didn't research what they wrote on, but if you know, I'm sure it wasn't the fastest writing mechanism, like scratching on some stone or something. And but they're furiously scribing, and Paul writes this letter, and he prays dearly for the Colossians because he knows they're struggling with false messages that challenge the central importance of Jesus Christ. And losing Christ means losing everything. I'm just going to say that again. Losing Christ means losing everything. It's powerful. And I'm not going to read too much, which is exciting if you're not much of a reader. It's just a couple of verses. But we start in chapter 2, and verse 8, Paul's talking about spiritual fullness in Christ. And words thrown around a lot, especially in the church setting. And but he warns the Colossians. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces or the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Philosophy is defined in the dictionary as a theory or attitude that acts as a guiding principle for behavior. So in essence, what Paul's sort of talking about here is don't be caught up in the world's philosophies and their attitudes, which are based on basic worldly principles rather than on Christ. Because without Christ, these principles don't mean anything. It's only through Christ that we've been brought to fullness. Because when we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made us alive in Christ. And he forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away and nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities of the devil, this part coming up is pretty cool, so get excited. He made a public spectacle of them and triumphed over them by the cross. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty good, because without it, we're toast. So it's really good. It's good. Tradition is a funny word. And I don't want this to be misinterpreted, because I don't want to like come across them saying that tradition's a bad thing, because it's not. But we do traditions and we do certain things in church because we're desperate to communicate with God. And we want to be close to him. And there's vehicles that we use in church and certain things we do to accomplish that. And we believe that these are God-honoring. But as soon as the focus comes off God, as soon as it's placed on man or anything else or works or how good we are or can be, we lose intimacy with God. And Paul reminds us that losing intimacy with Christ is losing everything. So don't place the ball in, well, I love basketball, by the way, so here comes a basketball reference. Don't place the ball in your court. That's for you, Diddy. Yeah, that's good. I'm excited about that. Come on. Keep going, Steve-o. All right. Don't place the ball in your court. Don't miss what Christ wants to teach you, and don't take your eyes off him. Study his word. It's his greatest resource and our greatest insight. Let me just change the page. Our greatest insight into God's character. And don't make things up either, because if we don't understand some things, that's okay, because we're human and we're on a journey. And these are the times we rely on God for our teaching. And so, yeah, don't make it up, because that's what God doesn't like. He doesn't, if we don't get it, if we miss the point, if we mess it up, that's okay. That stuff God can deal with, and he's okay with it. It's when we sort of start to say, oh, I know about this. And God definitely said we need to have 2 showers a day. That's definitely in the Bible, you know. That's don't make it up, because that's what God doesn't like. Because in the same... in the same way we don't deserve God's grace, there's no way we can earn it either. It's a free gift with no take-backs. It's not just a sort of I give you my grace, and if you do something like 5 times, you have to earn it again. It's no take-backs. And Paul actually talks about earlier in the first chapter in this letter, he talks about truly understanding God's grace. And that's a lesson we all have to learn. And that will set us free and advance the gospel. Yeah. It's pretty cool, eh? It's good. This doesn't mean, though, that we sort of go out and do our own thing and just do what feels good because, you know, that's cool. It's not. We don't go out and sin freely because God's grace is enough, because that's not quite right. You know, we don't really need a green light to do the wrong thing because we're pretty good at it. Like, so we don't need an excuse to go, hey, you know, it's okay to go out and sin because we already do it. But when we start to truly understand what grace actually means, and we start to understand just how God sees us, our love for him will grow and expand. And that's where his grace will begin to work in us and allow us to say no to sin and ungodliness. And Major Beth shared a passage where that's from. That's from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And I think it's only the 2 chapters in Titus. So if you're not much of a reader, it's a good one. And it's just got some really good stuff in there. So, but yeah. When we start to truly understand how God actually sees us, that's where the change begins, and that's where his grace actually changes us. So instead of saying that, you know, we're free to sin because God's grace is enough, God's grace is enough for us not to sin, and that's where the change is. Yeah. Jeez, man. I put this in... Felt like I needed to chuck it in at ridiculous AM this morning. So Yeah. But God loves you and me so much. And so much that he sent his only son to save you. And if you put yourself down, if you don't think positively of yourself, you're actually rejecting God's opinion of you. And to disagree with God is actually to make yourself equal with him. Or worse, put your opinion above what God thinks. And so when you keep putting yourself down, and to disagree with God is to make yourself equal with him, you become skilled at tuning out compliments and picking out on criticism because it confirms the negative opinion that you have of yourself. And as a result, you distance yourself from people and end up lonely without ever knowing why. Maybe your parents failed you or your partner betrayed you or a number of things, anything. You may feel like damaged goods and you might seek escape in addictions or affairs or a lifestyle of ritual accomplishment. But it doesn't work. Only when you accept that God loves you unconditionally and decide to love yourself because of that. Don't just love yourself because you're fantastic. You are, but like, don't get like a big head. But when you accept that God loves you unconditionally and that motivates you to love yourself, you have love to give to others and you'll really be able to move forward. Yeah. So don't miss the point, friends. It doesn't matter about works, about the world's ideas and philosophies, and it doesn't even matter how passionately that we can worship or participate in services like this. What matters is Christ and learning what it means to follow him and love him more and more. There's a cool line for a song by a band called The Apologetics, which basically take like every popular song that's ever been written and they make Christian parodies out of them. So it's really cool because you can like listen to like Eminem and it's okay. It's safe. You don't have to get your $1 swear jar out and fill it up. It's really good. So, but they say, which is really cool, it says, good works can show your faith, but you must first take his grace. So you can't have both, you know. You can do all the right things, tick the right boxes, but if you haven't got God, if that's not your central focus, then you miss the boat, and that it doesn't work. It's like one of those algebra equations in maths, and like A plus B equals C, but you don't have B. So I don't know if that actually makes sense, but it doesn't work. One doesn't work without the other. Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and we're not going to talk much about it because it's something. It talks at the very beginning of it. It talks about how the church of Christ, you know, just the collective body of believers around the world, they work hard, they do the right things in church, and they seek to grow and they seek to disciple and mentor and they do the right things, but God says, you lost your first love. And that's why he's not happy. So it might be a reminder for some of us. Might be sort of the first time you've heard that, but it's so important because Christ has to be at the center of everything. And he loves you no matter what. And he made you just the way you are. Not so that you can feel like you're a stuff up, but because he has a big plan and a big purpose just for you. And God doesn't want you to change who you are. He wants to change what you're doing. If you're doing the wrong thing, he doesn't want you to just keep doing it. So, God doesn't want to change who I am. So if I'm doing this, it must be okay. It's not. But God doesn't want to change you because he made you perfect already in his eyes. So, yeah. We're going to move into a bit of a response and reflection time. So if the worship team would like to make their way forward, that'd be really good. And we sort of do this most of the time we're in church. I just want to encourage you just quickly before we sort of get into this, but the Holy Spirit sent by God is no doubt already here. And the Holy Spirit was actually already here before we were here. So before everyone was here at however early people do get here. He was already here. He was in your workplace, and he's in the schoolyard, and everywhere else you've been today. Sometimes when we don't have the sort of feeling that the Spirit's here, you know, that sort of bit of a wishy-washy type thing, that sometimes doesn't happen, but that's okay, because we don't actually understand the Holy Spirit much at all, and he speaks in very different ways. But I do want to encourage you that even if you don't sort of have that feeling, to be aware and also thankful that the Holy Spirit's present tonight, because without God sending his Spirit to us, none of this would really matter. So there'd be no redemption, there'd be no transformation, there'd be no kingdom insight at all tonight without it. So even if you don't feel or you've never really understood the Spirit, just pray that you're aware that he's here, that it's here, and that it's looking on you with love no matter what. And just enjoy being in the presence of the Lord.
Love and his favor. If you're serving in the church or in the community and thinking, the more I give, the more he will love me, and you haven't really experienced his grace, tonight is your opportunity to receive his grace. He doesn't love you anymore because you serve. He loves it when you serve, but he loves you anyway. You don't have to serve to be loved. And it won't earn his favor or his love anymore, okay? He loves you regardless. So if tonight you haven't actually experienced his grace just because, no matter what, just because his grace, I want to open up the opportunity for you to receive that grace. And it's amazing how when you receive that incredible grace and that forgiveness and the love of God, how when you then serve, how incredibly different it is. How incredibly different it is that when you go out and you serve, and once you've experienced God's grace, it's like this incredible, overwhelming joy. Just an overwhelming joy to give. So I just want to say tonight, if you have not received the grace of God to set you free, forgive you of your sin, and start a brand new life, tonight is your opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I need your grace. If you want to do that, I invite you to come kneel while we pray. Or if you just want to say, yes, Jesus, I surrender my life to you again, a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, you can come and pray, or you can just stand in your seat and worship as we sing this song, I Surrender All, to receive his grace, his mercy and his love afresh and anew tonight. Tonight's your chance. Actually, every day there's a chance, but tonight there is a chance while you have breath in you. I encourage you to just say yes to his grace. If you want to do that in it, whatever way you like, the opportunity is open and the way is there. It's time to receive. Let's sing.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through the Father. Amen.
I surrender.
I invite you to stand as we sing this chorus.
I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
One more time, let's lift it up. This is our prayer tonight.
I just want to share one thing. I just had this little picture while we were singing of us entering heaven. And there's Jesus at the gate. And some of us, when we get there, will say, but I did this and I did this and I did this. And Jesus will look and say, but did you know my grace? But did you know my grace? I want to encourage you tonight to discover His grace. Greater than any service, greater than any way you can look, greater than absolutely everything. It doesn't matter what's been in the past. It doesn't matter where you've been. His grace covers all things, absolutely everything. It forgives and it forgives and it forgives. He doesn't wait for you to be good enough. He doesn't wait for you to look the part. He says, you are mine. Just receive my grace. My grace is all you need. That's your ticket, buddy. If you want to know me, that's your ticket. Just know my grace. I want to encourage you tonight, truly. If you're trying to earn your way to Him, you cannot do it. It is only by His grace. Grace, free gift. God's amazing free gift. Free gift for you and for me. Never forget it. It is for absolutely everyone. Absolutely everyone. It's for you. Hallelujah. All right. Let's sing. Come on down. Try a little kindness. Hello. All right. I'm giving the mic to you, buddy, because you can sing. You gotta have a microphone. Come on. This girl can sing. She can sing.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the city soul, if you see your sister falling by the way, don't stop and say, to help someone along life's way. You've got to try a little kindness, just show a little kindness, just shine your light for everyone to see. Yeehaw! And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street.
Don't forget, help out, clean up, put the stuff away for us, and see you later.